webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, December 22nd, 2010, the only 22nd day of December, 2010, and the only webcast before Christmas, 2010, in history. In fact, 'twas the webcast for Christmas and all through the earth. Not a human was sinning. None had a curse. Christ hung on the cross with such perfect love for the joy set before him from the Father above. All God's children redeemed, saved to the max. Even Bill Clinton while playing the sax. The Pope, too, in his lovely outfit and cap. Though many were lulled into a bad religious nap. When out in the world arose such a solution, the gospel for all, what a revolution! Away on the internet and via the stream, week after week, God's ultimate dream. He delivered his promise to the world as a whole, made Jesus the Lord, for he paid all our toll. And I heard him exclaim as he rose out of sight, "You're all holy and righteous. I saved you just right." What a better way to start the webcast before Christmas, I could not think. Other than, without any further ado, to welcome the president and founder of the referred to Gospel Revolution from the home offices in Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Glenn! Good evening. I have to tell the folks about our phone conversation just a little bit earlier today when you told me you had written a poem, and I actually kind of chuckled about it. I'd never heard your poetic artistry yet. I certainly had seen your artistry in writing, and this was the poem that I heard. So our modest moderator tonight is the author of that poem that you just heard, and I just thought it was wonderful. So thanks for sharing, Glenn.
Well, you're welcome, Michael. And of course, apologies to our Gospel Revolution poet laureate, Jackie Bernard. But, it's one thing about being free in Christ. You can take your liberty here and there.
There you can, yes. Yeah, and there can be more than one of us.
Yeah, thank God that that is true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening live, and we started a couple minutes late, those that are listening on the archive would have no idea, because Sean O'Halloran does such an outstanding job editing. But if you're listening live and it's a few minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States and Canada, that is your clue to give us a call live on the toll-free 1-800-436-3260. We are celebrating the gospel as we do each and every day, as we do each and every Wednesday night, but we want to hear your voice as well. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean, waiting to take your calls right now at 1-800-436-3260. Well, we just came off a very successful fall pledge drive. We had a goal, Michael, of $2,800 in new or increased monthly donation. We are a little over $1,400, so about halfway. Well, no, actually over halfway there. No,
yeah.
Just about halfway there. Yeah,
make up your mind, and I'll agree with you.
I did not major in mathematics, nor did I major in poetry either. But anyway, I do want to recognize And we want to recognize everybody who participated and donated. And our final total, I believe, is a 1465, I think, because we just had confirmation from Kate and Jeff Benham that they were donating $25 a month, and we had over 70 people donate. These folks were the ones that made new or increased monthly donations, and we want to recognize them and also just appreciate the diverse nature of the locales and the human beings, the beautiful human beings that are donating to this effort. Steve and Chris Ann Panther from Waterloo, Iowa. Kathleen Swanner from Angleton, Texas. George Najjar from Howard, Ohio. We had an anonymous gift from St. Albert, Alberta. Don and Judy Murphy from Billings, Montana. George and Gloria Johnson from Athens, Alabama. Darren and Monica Bell from Supalpa, Oklahoma. Steve and Mary Keller from Cortez, Colorado. Carrie and Rita Whiteman from Whitehall, Montana. Billy Thompson from Wachuca City, Arizona. We had an anonymous gift from Fitchburg, Wisconsin. Don Wynn from Wasilla, Alaska. Chris and Alexa Myers from North Augusta, South Carolina. Michael L. Williams, Houston, Texas. Greg Ambergy, Kings Mill, Ohio. Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Bill and Jeannie Schultz from Pollock Pines, California. James and Gail Gustafson from Estevan, Saskatchewan. Randy Johnson from Charlotte, North Carolina. Leslie Kaza from Edmonton, Alberta. And Victor Dobrennan from Calgary, Alberta. Did I say Leslie from Calgary? Leslie is from Edmonton.
Yes, she did.
And these folks made one-time gifts, which were huge, much appreciated. These folks were one-time pledgers or donators to the Fall Pledge Drive. Dave Castle from East Peoria, Illinois. Steve Snyder from Birmingham, Alabama. Dina Morgan from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. John Van Sickle from Indianapolis, Indiana. Jerry Ryan from Tampa, Florida. Yvonne DeClean from Waterford, Wisconsin. Gene Giglio from Opelika, Alabama. Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia. Michael and Leticia Cole from Daytona Beach, Florida. James Taylor from Calhoun, Louisiana. Susan Gomez from Atlanta, Georgia. Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Mark Archambault from Tucson, Arizona. Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Merle Mosaic from Sturgeon County, Alberta. Mac and Rosa Walker from West Monroe, Louisiana. Lee Callender from Nassau, the Bahamas. We had an anonymous gift from Edmonton. Arthur and Dagmar Wirtz from Brandon, New Brunswick. Pep Washburn from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Pat Salinen from Waukesha, Wisconsin. David Dwyer from Brisbane, Australia. Pastor Pat and Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Kathleen Swanner from Angleton, Texas. Linda Reynolds from Owosso, Oklahoma. We had an anonymous one-time gift from St. Albert, Alberta. Tracy Oliver from Edmonton. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, Manitoba. Richard Mull from Garden Grove, California. Here's a one-time gift from Pastor Ted in Decatur, Alabama. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Bud and Ruth Ramsey from Park River, North Dakota. Phyllis Schultz from Vernon, British Columbia. Lee Dyke from Kelowna, British Columbia. Beverly Galuska from Allen Park, Michigan. And James and Gail Gustafson again from Estevan, Saskatchewan. So that is that's quite a roster, Michael. That's growing. Those are beautiful humans. Those are people that love and understand the gospel. And the pledge drive for the fall 2010 is history, and it was very rewarding on a number of levels. Obviously, we didn't quite get to our goal, but it said a lot for the number of people participating and for making those monthly contributions at whatever level.
Oh, absolutely. And to, from my heart to all of these people, which, you know, honestly, 90% of them, the names as they go by, I have perfect images in my head of who we're talking about. And these really are really amazing people. So it really is incredible. It really is incredible. And the base of the support for the ministry is spreading wider and wider all of the time. The listening audience is getting greater. I think we're, what are we at, 69 countries?
69 divine nations that are logging
absolutely.
On to the website and listening.
So we, so from my heart to you guys, I just thank you. You know, one of the thoughts that most of the people that know me know that I think in these terms, because I'm always measuring out, you know, what can happen with the gospel now, and even in light of whether I'm a part of it or not, and especially this last year, where it looked like this was my last year of being part of the gospel revolution. But when I know that people participate like this, I know that my involvement or not, that this gospel is going to reach this planet, and I am I'm just delighted. It's the I don't know how to explain it. I have such joy in sharing this gospel, and I do want to reach a billion people in my lifetime through the gospel revolution. But I feel absolutely no weight or pressure to do that. It's the oddest feeling, and but I'm very grateful for it. So yes, thank you guys. Goodness gracious, you are the best. Thank you, thank you.
And we did get, Jeff sent the last couple that came in so far, Kate and Jeff Benham from Geelong, Australia, and Rowan and Diane Raphael from British Columbia, which brings us to a grand total, according to Jeff, of $1,404 a month. So that's on top of the one-time gifts. That's fantastic, you guys. Absolutely tremendous. Much appreciated.
It absolutely is. What a great recovery. It's not a full recovery, but boy, I tell you, from where we took the nosedive from because of the financial hit that everybody took during the 08 collapse of the economy, this is really great considering that a lot of people still are without jobs and are still suffering from this economic collapse, but parts and doing what they want to do, really appreciate.
All right, well, we are in regular mode now, folks. You know that we only take about an hour or so, a quarter, to talk specifically about the finances, and the pledge drive is over. We're always happy to take your donations. You can always go to the website. But we are proclaiming, as we always do, the fullness and the richness and the complete work of the cross. That's what we do. That's our passion. That is our joy. And let us hear from you with any questions or comments at about a little after quarter after the hour, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting in studio. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number to call in. Sean waiting to take your call in the studio of the Bay of the Holy Spirit here in Tampa, Florida. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear your heart. We want to hear your passion. We want to hear your questions, your comments, your criticisms, whatever you got to talk about. 1-800-436-3260. Michael, this question comes from one of our givers, from Mary Keller in beautiful Colorado. She says, "Hello, Glenn and Mike. It's always a delight to hear the gospel truths on the webcast." She says, "I saw a Peace on Earth Goodwill Towards Men sign the other day and was trying to recall, Michael, your teaching on Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I remember it was quite life-giving, but I don't remember the details. Could you refresh my memory? I think it would be good for all of us to hear, especially around Christmas. And that's Mary Keller from Cortez, Colorado.
Well, a more apropos question couldn't have come our way on this night, just before Christmas, coming up this weekend, when we're going to be celebrating the birth of Christ. Everybody knows it's not the right time. It's everybody knows that Christianity hijacked the season. But well, we can still celebrate. And even through the mist and the fog and the deception, we can still say we're celebrating something. But very interesting point, because after Mary's question came in, I, of course, thought immediately as to what the answer is. Pretty standard. It's pretty complete. But the, of course, the first thing that came into my head is the fact that all of these signs do say peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I was thinking, it doesn't say, that's not what it says. And the thought crossed my mind that it doesn't say that at all any place in the Bible, that it says peace, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But it says in Luke, it says, and the angel said, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. So the sentence structure gives a complete different understanding than the statement, peace on earth. The statement says, and on earth, what's going to happen is peace and goodwill toward men. Now, that's a very important preposition, that it is toward men. It's not between men. This is nothing to do with people who exist on this planet, except that we are the ones that it's happening toward, and it's toward the entire human race, peace and goodwill toward mankind. And of course, that peace and goodwill, as the angels were excited about, was the fact that God was declaring peace with the entire human race. The angels were excited because they'd never seen this before. They had seen miracles. I remember years ago, Glenn, I was thinking about it. I thought, well, why didn't they get excited? Because in the Word of Faith movement, we preach Jesus came. So now there's miracles, and now there's healings, and there's financial prosperity and blessings. And I stopped and thought, well, why did the angels get excited about peace and goodwill toward men? Why didn't they say, you know, the angels come running up and make this declaration and say, and on earth healing, or and on earth prosperity? But that's not what they were excited about. And I realized that even in the Old Covenant, these angels had seen these things. They had seen the greatest healings that had ever taken place, had already taken place, long before Jesus ever came along. And they had seen prosperity that to this day I don't think has ever still been seen on the face of planet Earth, through King Solomon and possibly King David also. The amount of wealth that was in their possessions. So they weren't excited about these things. They were excited about what they had never seen, something they had never seen, that God was about to declare peace from himself toward mankind. So anyway, as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, one of the things that I'm going to point out is that no place in the Bible does it say peace on earth. I thought, you know what? I don't know that for sure, so I thought, right, I better do my little Bible search here. And so I pulled up my little Bible program, and I put in peace on earth. And lo and behold, two places came up in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34, and Luke 12, verse 51. And both of them have the statement in it, or the phrase, peace on earth. Now, let me read them both to you. They're very interesting. Now, remember, all the signs say that that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. All right, listen what Jesus had to say. Now, what the prophets foretold was that Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. There is no prophecy. There is no prophecy that says that God came to bring peace between man. Now, I believe the gospel can do that, but that would not be the fulfillment of Scripture. The fulfillment of Scripture was that which gives us accessibility to all of this, all these possibilities on the planet. So anyway, here's the verses. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. That's Matthew 10, 34. Luke 12, verse 51 says, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, Jesus refutes every sign out there. Every Christian sign out there, every billboard. There's a big war in New York going on between the atheists and the Christians. And on one end of the Lincoln Tunnel, the atheists have up the manger scene and the star and the camels and the wise men. And at the top of their billboard, it says, you know, it's a myth. And so the Christians come back and put the Christian sign on the other side, which says peace on earth, which theirs is completely wrong. It doesn't say peace on earth. In fact, Jesus made sure we understood that he did not come to bring peace on earth. So the atheists are right about the Christian sign. The Christian sign is a myth. So atheists win the billboard debate, but here it is. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. The term sword literally means a judicial punishment, which Jesus brought that judicial punishment. And that judicial punishment fell upon himself. The law, the punishment of the law. This was invoked by the law of sin and death, and Jesus came to bring that judgment, which brought peace toward mankind.
Right.
Then Luke chapter 12, verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. Now, the interesting thing about division, the term division here, is that it one of its connotations means disunion of opinion. And so literally, Jesus said, I've come to start the debate. I want the debate to start here and now. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jesus said, I come to bring the judgment, and now the debate begins. Let me tell you something. We may be a little high and dry and late on becoming a part of the debate, but hello, we're here. This is a part of the debate, and the debate is that Jesus never came to bring peace on earth. Jesus came to bring take the judgment that would ensure that there would never be any war or anything else but peace between God and man forever. And from that point, Jesus is saying, let the debate now begin. And I'm telling you, we're standing up and we're proclaiming this side of the debate. Now, the Christian world is telling you that Jesus did not take this judicial punishment, that he did not take it. His work is incomplete. The scriptures are unfulfilled. Jesus, that he did not bear the sin of the world, and we're here telling you on the other side of the debate, yes, he did. Jesus bore all punishment. He took it all away. We're not giving you some pie in the sky waiting until peace comes on earth that's spoken of by Jesus. Jesus said, it ain't going to happen. But what has happened is that total peace has come between God and man because I took the judicial punishment for all sin. Now let the debate begin.
Well, we are in the midst of the debate, beautiful humans, and we want you to participate in it by giving us a call here, 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean is waiting to take your calls, and we do want to hear from you. If you're listening live, obviously, if you're listening on the archive, it will be hard to call since we're not here right now. But you can always call us on our home and cell phone numbers. But we'd like to hear from you if you are listening live at 1-800-436-3260. We will be back with more of the webcast before Christmas when we return on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue 2, judgment, and gospel issue number 3, righteousness.
Judgment, what a big issue. You got to remember in John chapter 3, Jesus said that he did not come to judge the world, but later on he said it's for judgment that I'm here. So is Jesus confused? Jesus said that the cross was the judgment of the entire world. And I can tell you what that judgment is. God has judged this entire planet as righteous and holy. Here's the issue. It's called the gospel. It's called the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of grace. It is called righteousness. It is the immaculate fulfillment of all things in the body of one man, the man Jesus Christ.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
I'm scared now from that music. Want to thank Robert Moore, Matt Perry, Jeff Robertson for their work on that spot. And yes, the Gospel 101 CDs in those gift packs are available. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. And those are great things, Michael. The reason that we produced that one and the reason that you're going to produce more Gospel 101 type teachings are for people who are not familiar with this thing. I often wonder, I was sharing with a new friend last week and invited him and his fiance to listen to the webcast, and I told him, I said, it might be hard to kind of jump in. I always wonder, because obviously we're down this road a little bit, if somebody is listening for the first time, what the hell they're thinking we're doing, what we're talking about. But I think, I mean, just based on your explanation of peace on earth versus goodwill towards men, as you describe the difference between what the Bible actually says and what religion actually says, I think even people who are new can benefit and do benefit through the gospel, obviously. Having said that, these Gospel 101 CDs are a valuable asset for people to be able to hear, just listen to this a bunch of times.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, one thing I've become very comfortable with, Glenn, is that regardless of the conversation or the meeting that someone happens to be interjected into or brought into or they happen upon the webcast, I believe the truth of the gospel, regardless. There's not like the advanced form of the gospel. Now, when we start talking about the psychology of the gospel and things like that, that's one thing. But when we're just speaking of these basic gospel truths, when we're presenting the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, we're not talking about the effect of it. But I think even when we talk about the psychology of the gospel, that it's that these things are already evident to people that something is amiss anyway. And so I think it can grab people. I remember as I was... I remember handing, a friend of mine had handed a gentleman by the name of John Hall, who was a 30-year veteran of the FBI. They actually kept him over a couple of years because of 9/11. And he had, and his wife had their fill of Christianity and were very involved, but had just a couple of years before had sat down and made the agreement, we're just not going back. There's nothing there for us. They didn't know anything more. They just knew what was not there. So my friend there in Fredericksburg handed John the three tape series that it was on the redemption of the world. This was his first introduction to the gospel. And John was driving on a trip to carry out some business someplace. And he put the first tape on, and he said, told me later that when he got to where he was going, the third tape was just ending. And he said, I got it. He said he totally understood it. He took it home, took it to his wife. He said, I'm not going to tell you what's on here. I just want you to listen and report to me. Let me know what you think. I want your honest opinion. She listened. She came back, and she said, I think he's right. And he said, I do too. So, when I asked John Hall, you know, where should we start when we're introducing this? He says, give them the full redemption of the world. For those who've walked this out and learned the gospel of grace and God, they say, oh, you got to start with gospel of grace and you got to start with gospel of peace. Don't tell them about the redemption of the world. That'll freak them out. Well, I think it's all truth, and I think that it's going to have an effect regardless if it's truth, it's heart. I think if it is the truth that we're sharing, that this truth, as you know my persuasion on it, this truth is already in their hearts. And I don't think it really gets by them. I don't think it bypasses them. And even if they don't accept it at the moment, the one thing I also know about the truth is it never goes away. Any seed of truth that comes to the heart is going to reside there until it's dealt with.
That's awesome. We just got word that we are now at 71 nations of the world.
Wow.
Jeff emailing us. Saudi Arabia and Denmark. Two more diverse countries there might not be on the planet.
Yay.
The Danish and the Saudis. But, welcome to everybody in Denmark and Saudi Arabia. Listening and logging on via the internet. 71 countries being impacted by the gospel of God's grace and peace. And by the way, folks, regardless if you live in Denmark or if you live in Saudi Arabia or Venezuela, you're good to go. God is not upset with you. He is not judging you. You know, down here in Florida, Michael, we just had Urban Meyer, who's the head coach of the University of Florida Gators, and he won a couple of national championships, very good football coach, and they're about to play in the Outback Bowl here at Raymond James Stadium, Tampa, on the first of the year, and he resigned before the game and said this will be his last game. He's 46 years old. He's had quite a career already. But he said, and he's been very influenced by this guy, Tim Tebow, who's been a strong fundamentalist Christian in the football world. He's the kid that wore the New Testament passages on his eye black, which became a little bit controversial. Anyway, in his statement of resignation, Coach Urban Meyer said that he was not going to be judged by how many games he would win or lose, that he would be, or how many championships he would win, but he was going to be judged by how good a husband and father he was going to be. And so he was retiring from football so that he could focus on his marriage and his child rearing. Is Urban Meyer going to be judged based on how good a husband or father he is?
Probably by most of the planet and probably by himself, but certainly not by God. That is the reprieve that we have that can give us the mental and emotional stability I think really needed to get through some of these things. But I hope he's listening. I'm very pleased to be the bearer of good news during this season. For somebody to say they're going to be judged, especially at this season, is just it's paradoxical, for sure, at a minimum. and is his name right? If there should be one thing we would be celebrating at this time of season, it is that we will not be judged. That is the message of this entire season. That should be the message of this entire season. It was the message of this entire season. It is the message that the angels got excited about and proclaimed, agreeing with the law and the prophets, that Jesus was going to bear the full death of the law and fulfill all the prophets and turn this incredible thing into the most beautiful story that's ever been told on this planet or ever will be. There will never be a greater story than this, because it's true. Number one, it is true. And so the number one thing I want him to know and the entire planet to know is that the reason for the season is that judgment has passed. The judgment has passed. It was executed fully at the cross. It is over. The screams of terror have completely subsided. The dread, the torment, the utter chaos of thinking and the mental and emotional torment of thinking about having to stand before a righteous and holy and just God to be judged for your works has passed in the cross.
It's such good news, and for those that are listening around the world, whether you're in a Christian country, a Muslim country, the one country of the world that is considered a Jewish country, Israel, no matter what you do, no matter what you think, no matter what food you eat, no matter what woman you look upon or think about, this is how powerful the work of the cross is. And I was going to say, Michael, that I apologize for the misrepresentation and the misinterpretation and the obtuse and manipulation of Christianity. And I guess, having been a part of it, I guess I can apologize for it. But regardless of who's responsible, Michael, for this incredible counterfeit and hideous representation of God's love and perfection for all, I think it's just important to know that everybody on the planet, as far as we understand, this is our considered opinion after decades and decades of research and consideration and study and observation, is that as far as God is concerned, vis-a-vis the Bible, vis-a-vis the scriptures, Michael, and the understanding of the gospel, especially by Paul the Apostle, is that everybody on the planet is perfect and righteous in God's sight.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. The terminology exhausts itself to try to describe the shame of the degradation of the gospel, the insulting of the blood of Jesus, the despite to the Spirit of grace, the trampling underfoot the Son of God, and the work of the cross, and counting the work of the cross as an unholy thing. And this is being done from every pulpit in every church, Catholic or Protestant, around the world. And anyone who can show me one that's not happening, please step forward. I would love for you to prove me wrong. When you present a message that is putting people on some platform of performance or stage to try to obtain or win God's favor, or that God is going to eventually judge all of this and straighten out all of this stuff at some point in the future, the reduction and of the revelation of the Word of God, of the Scriptures about Jesus and what He has done, is just it is shameful. It is shameful, and every other word we can think of to include in that. And it is heartbreaking to know that a planet out there waits for the greatest story, really, truly the greatest story that has ever been told on this planet, that they have not heard, that they have taken positions against, that they don't even know what they are positioning themselves against, and even Christians positioning themselves for something, and they don't even know what they're positioning themselves for, because actually Christianity has firmly positioned itself in opposition to the gospel. Firmly positioned itself in opposition to the gospel. You see, most religions around the world have not positioned themselves against the gospel. It's just their view and opinion of God. Buddhism, Hinduism, you name them all. But they are not necessarily positioned in direct opposition to the gospel. The only religion on the face of earth that is directly positioned against the work of the cross and against the gospel is Christianity, in all of its forms, from Catholicism through every form of Protestantism that I know. You cannot preach that God is angry and say that you are not in opposition to the gospel. You are in opposition to the gospel. You are in opposition to the scriptures if you are teaching or preaching that there's an angry God about anything. You are in direct opposition to the gospel if you are teaching, especially if you're including the name of Jesus. You know, just come up with your own religion and just leave Jesus out of it. And let us get a clear picture of Him and His work. Don't build this hideous thing that has positioned itself in direct opposition to the gospel. Let's stop this stuff. Let's stop setting ourselves, calling ourselves believers, calling ourselves Christians, and not realizing that those positions. Validating that we are righteous because we believe, and sometimes even that's not good enough, that all of that is in direct opposition to the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace.
Well, and that's the problem, of course, with Christianity, is how schizophrenic it is. There's no other religion on the face of the earth that says that you are saved and redeemed through a grace, which is an unconditional acceptance of God, and then you need to start earning your way in order to maintain that. It is completely, I mean, it's just like Paul said, Michael, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the instability of Christianity is manifested clearly throughout society and throughout cultures that have gone through Christianity, and frankly, as things are coming as they do from Europe and from Western Europe to the United States and Canada, those societies have rejected organized religion and organized Christianity, mm-hmm. and we say thank God. I was watching, as I mentioned on a previous broadcast, I was watching today, the Jimmy Swaggart new satellite. I love it because it just wall-to-wall legalism. And people ask me, why in God's name would you watch that stuff? And it's just like game film. You know, I'm an old athlete. I'm an old coach. I like to watch what the opposition is doing. And it is remarkable. This guy that I used to support so much, Jimmy Swaggart, what he's done in reinventing himself or coming back from the scandals of the late 80s. And yet, it must have been a broadcast from their church there in Baton Rouge tonight, because he was deriding the fact that the United States today had made by law that gay and lesbian people could now serve openly without lying about their sexuality in the United States military. Jimmy Swaggart said that God's judgment was about to come on the United States. Now, I found it interesting because he had apparently no problem with gay and lesbian people lying about their sexuality in serving and defending his freedom to criticize it. But even under their way of looking at things, Michael, they would be violating the Ten Commandments, because if you're in there under a lie and lying about who you actually are, you're breaking that commandment too. I mean, just the craziness. Here we are in the Gospel Revolution. We celebrate that decision. Mike, we believe that that is a further manifestation of the equality that God sees us all with. And here is Swaggart and, of course, people by the multiple millions in this country and probably around the world too, that are deriding that decision by the Congress of the United States and the President of the United States by saying that people, regardless of their sexuality, can now serve openly if they want to help defend the United States. To us, that's a positive thing. That if God was going to bless us for anything, we think that he would bless us for that, even though we don't see it that way.
Well, in all truthfulness, honesty is not a quality that can be maintained under the doctrines of Christianity. It just cannot be maintained, because if you tell the truth, then you're not, quote, a real Christian. You can't tell the truth, you can't be honest and be a Christian. You can't do it. You'd be kicked out of church, you'd be kicked out of the pulpit, Jimmy Swaggart would be kicked out again. His whole family would be kicked out of the ministry if they were honest. You can't be honest and be a Christian. It is forbidden to be honest.
Hold on for a second. You've got to get more. I know what you mean, and many of the folks that are listening to us know what you mean. But when you say Jimmy Swaggart or Donnie Swaggart or Gabriel Swaggart, Jimmy Swaggart's grandson, and we could name anybody, of course, that's in the professional clergy. When you say they can't be honest or they would be kicked out, specifically, what are the type of things that you're speaking about?
Well, we could go on any level, because none of them measure up to the standards that they say that their Christian beliefs require of them. None of them measure up to any moral integrity. And you say, how do you know that, Michael? Well, I know it because Jesus said that even if you think about it, then you have broken the law. So these people need to come out every time before they preach and say, you must understand that we are all of the things that the law is against. We are, number one, we are liars, we are thieves,
we are murderers, we are fornicators, we are horrible people.
Absolutely, because the law, you see, this is the contradiction that they cannot resolve. If you break one law, you broke all law in the eyes of God. They're trying to say that they are giving a message about God, yet they deny God in their message. They deny Christ in the message about Christ. They are dishonest people. They cannot be honest. You can't be honest and be a Christian. You will get kicked out. Believe me, you will get kicked out. And unless there's Christian denominations that have backed down from the rhetoric of the of Christianity and just, you know, they don't kick people out. You know, it hasn't been that many years before that if you were divorced, you were out of the church. You couldn't do that. So over the years, some of these harsher rules have subsided, but still, you couldn't go to church and be honest. You couldn't go to church and be honest about what you thought, what you did, what you felt, what you wanted to do, what crossed your mind that week, because, you see, their whole doctrine is set up on a moral platitude that none of them achieve. that no one has ever achieved. It was designed that no one would ever achieve it. So we could take that into consideration and let it teach us a greater truth. So they are embracing darkness. They're embracing the darkness of their beliefs instead of coming into the light of the gospel that so generously is able to set our hearts and minds free. So, honesty and Christianity are not two things that can walk hand in hand. It's just not possible. Everybody would be kicked out of church. Every time something honest comes out about these guys, they get kicked out. Or they have to deny everything. They can't maintain both. You cannot maintain Christianity and honesty at the same time. It is required. You are required. You're asking how could they put up, how they think that it was okay for the homosexuals to lie. It's because that's what Christianity is. It's all about being dishonest. And, and I'm sure that Jimmy would never, ever say out of his mouth, even though Israel has had gays serving openly in their military for many years now, and 25 of our allies have had gays serving openly. They serve already openly with gays, not only in our military, but in others. But I'm sure Jimmy would never utter out of his mouth that the judgment of God was coming upon Israel because they were allowing gays to serve openly, and they did it long before the U.S. did.
Oh, he actually said tonight that we were in the last of the last days, not just the last days, but the last of the last days. The rapture, of course, is just around the corner, and unless those days be shortened, that Israel would be completely wiped out. If you guys have Dish TV or DirecTV or any cable system that gets swagger, just watch it for a while. The television, I mean, it's just fantastic legalism. I mean, it's just like, you've got to see it. You've got to see the absolute boldness of the legalism and the twisted nature. You could see it on their faces. You can hear it in their voices. Here's a guy that was completely discredited, and through sheer perseverance of himself, of his wife, of his son, they have just hung in there in the family business and have built it back up. I mean, it's impressive from a human endeavor standpoint, but the absolute crap that is coming out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana is remarkable. And I just, at some point, all we got to do is just record a half an hour of it. And we could have an entire seminar. But Swaggart said tonight, Michael, that the reason that God brought Israel into existence is because he had to have people of faith in order to bring Christ into the earth. He said this. This is why Israel is so special in the sight of God, because they had the faith that allowed Christ to be born. And we know from our study and from our examination of the scriptures and from just understanding human nature that nobody had faith in God to satisfy God's requirements, that it was the faith of Christ, the faith of God, that ultimately redeemed the earth.
Goodness, when they start bringing up the verses, number one, completely out of context. But to even look at the situation and say that you're addressing the issue of except these days be shortened, it's just amazing. It really is just amazing that they have absolutely no clue the context or the content of what is being said. And they're making reference to the scriptures and the fact
Swaggart said that in reference to
Christ coming back to save Israel from complete destruction. He said that it was Israel themselves that had crucified their Messiah. I could not believe he actually said that. That is not accurate, even from a Christian standpoint. This is Clyde Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night, the webcast before Christmas, and as a late pledge drive, fall pledge drive gift, we got a $100 contribution, a one-time gift from our good buddy in Ohio who's online with us tonight, Tom Tomsky. Tom!
Well, hello. Can you hear
me? Hey, Tom.
I'm here.
Yeah, we can hear you fine, Tom.
Okay, because you're kind of breaking up. But that's okay. I just
you,
was
you
calling.
You sound great.
I am great. I'm doing fine. I just got back from the Olive Garden, and so I'm just kind of sitting back. I've been listening to the show on the archives, and nobody's been calling in much. So I just thought I'd call in. So what are we talking about?
Well, you know, did you hear the archive when I mentioned your and Knappenberger's breakfast that you guys get together for, but I couldn't remember Knappenberger's name, and then it came to me?
Yeah. I listen to all of them. I usually fall asleep in the recliner before, you know. I've been working like a dog.
Well, you can't go and have a big Italian meal at the Olive Garden, and then, you know, be all anointed to listen to the Gospel Revolution.
Oh, yeah, I can. I've been enjoying your going on about Jimmy Swaggart. I wish I could pick him up.
Oh, bro, it is.
On
it,
my cable.
It is just fan-frickin-tastic, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I know. I got a friend here in town who has a small church down in Maslin, Ohio, and he's beating out the same message every Sunday, and his messages are online, and I listen to them all the time. And it just amazes me. I have to ask myself, you know, like they used to say, what would Jesus do? I have to ask myself, like, well, what in the heck did he do?
Yeah.
Because as far as this guy's concerned, he really didn't do a whole lot of anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of odd. Listening to him, you know, it's pitiful. He's just depressing, you know. But that's their thing. That's their show. You know, that's what they do. Right?
Yeah, this is definitely true. This is what they do. I don't know of any better way to put it.
That's how they make their money.
This is what they do, and they
that's
do make their money.
Yeah, that's all it's
and,
all about. You know,
we have certainly proven that taking away guilt and condemnation takes a hit to the finances for sure.
Well, it does. You know all about that. You was in the Word of Faith for how many years?
Too many.
You know, it's golly. I went to a Word of Faith one time and. And I thought, I was sitting there, and my friend of mine, Tim, wanted to go. And we went to this local guy here in town, and he was listening. And I says, you know, I've been through this for so long that he could drop over dead right now, and I could walk right up there and finish the message. Because it's just the same old thing all the time.
Yeah.
So how you guys doing?
We're doing great, Tommy, and we know this is a busy time of year for everybody in the mail service,
yeah,
the
we've
postal
been
service.
Busy.
Yeah, I bet you have. And the weather, of course, not cooperating in the Midwest. So just sleep well tonight, my friend. That's all I have to say.
Oh,
and thank you for participating.
Yeah, I felt bad. I thought I missed the. It said the pledge drive was over on the 21st, and I thought to myself. I hope you guys don't reject my donation.
You know better than that, bro. You know better than that.
But I figured there probably wasn't much of a chance of that. Okay, well, like I said, I just wanted to call
and say hi.
I heard you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And say hello to Knappenberger for us, all right? Mike's
yeah,
coming
I'll
to Ohio.
Yeah, I'll see you on Sunday morning.
All right, dude.
Okay, take it easy.
Sleep well. Good night.
All right.
Thanks.
Good night.
There's Tom Tonsky from Ohio, from Canton, Ohio, to be specific. Home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yay.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to be going to Ohio. We got Knappenberger, we got Tonsky, we got Ambergy, we got Najjar. So, some good stuff is going to be coming to Ohio. Jeff will be working on that, I'm sure, feverishly.
Oh, yes.
Well,
absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so what do you got planned for Christmas? You going to drink some eggnog?
I'm glad you mentioned it because I would have forgotten this was eggnog availability time, actually. I will be here, and I'm sure being happy for the day that we're celebrating. It'll probably be a pretty normal day here at the Williams household, though. Not a lot going on. My family is all in Illinois, and my youngest daughter will be coming down for a week's visit in a couple of weeks now. And but not over the holidays, and then my friend Chris will be down on the 5th to spend a week. So January is going to be kind of my celebration month.
Yeah, and then you're off to Calgary.
And then
that's
the very last weekend,
quick.
I am.
Yeah, we got to get that up on the website.
On my jet.
You folks in Victo Brennan land up there in Calgary, get ready for that. We got a corrected amount for the monthly donations. Jeff just sent it's at $1,414, a nice round total. So we actually finished over 50% of on our way to $2,800. And we've got a special call, Michael, from New Mexico. Rhonda Liske is calling to say hello to you. Rhonda!
Hi, Mike.
Hey,
Rhonda Liske. How you doing?
I'm doing good, dear. How are you?
We're doing good. We just moved from Edmonton to Albuquerque here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, I know who I'm talking to now.
Right. My husband and my little guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, your last name threw me because I haven't learned that clearly yet. But, oh, yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah, we're on a first-name basis. That's why.
Oh, yes, we have been on first name basis for many years.
Yes.
Goodness, oh my gosh, guys, this girl's story is so amazing. The impact of the gospel in her life, and she is now married and has a wonderful husband and the most beautiful little boy. He is just amazing, and I am sure that you and both of your little men in your life are doing great.
Yeah, we are. We're doing wonderfully, and we just wanted to call and wish you a really wonderful Christmas this year and an amazing year of growth for you.
Rhonda, you don't know how much that means, hon. Thank you so much. That is... we go a long way back, and and a lot of it we'll just keep to ourselves, won't we?
Yes, understood. But yes, no,
we go
really
way back.
We really enjoyed a lot of, or what you spoke on tonight. It was wonderful to just always hear the gospel reiterated. And what you already know is truth in your heart to be re-strengthened in you.
Well, I you know what? I'm so happy for you. We have rejoiced over the gospel for many years and just piece at a time. And of course, most of this through the Edmonton. And I got up there sometime in the summertime, but you guys always wanted me to come in the winter for some reason. I think you were testing me to see whether I care.
You can't keep 40 below weather can't keep you away from a prayer meeting.
Well, you know, and that's the bizarre thing I've tried to tell people about you guys. And see, like down south, when the weather is bad, everybody stays in.
Yeah,
in Edmonton, when the weather's bad, everybody's looking for some place to go.
Well, yes.
And it's just the opposite mindset.
Yeah, yeah. I know my son was at a soccer game on Friday, but it had dropped quite low the night before and snowed a little bit here in Albuquerque. When we got there, it's normally about 30 people. It was just us.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't that there was snow on the ground, it's just that it was cold, so people just didn't want to leave their houses, I'm sure.
Right.
Too funny.
How long have you been in Albuquerque, Rhonda? Because you still got nice Edmonton. Yeah, you got that nice Edmonton accent still going there, you know.
Oh, do I? Still?
Oh yeah.
Well, that'll change over the next few years, I guess.
I love Albuquerque.
I am so happy for you.
Yeah.
Be sure and stay in contact with me, Rhonda. Make sure I get your number and everything.
Most definitely. Yeah.
I can't believe you're this close. This is like your next door now, you know.
I know. That's I was actually quite excited about that because now maybe I can get to the Houston meetings and things like that.
Absolutely. Well, you and your husband and your son are welcome to come down and just come down for a visit sometime. And
when we finally get
a house. Thank you. I love Albuquerque, so I will definitely
take you up on that. I'm loving it. It's just a lovely, lovely little city.
Wait until the annual balloon festival.
Already been here and done that.
Oh my gosh! Is it amazing or what?
It was stunning.
Anybody on the planet that can go take in Albuquerque's balloon festival, please do it. It is done under the most exquisite Albuquerque skies, and the skies are filled with hundreds and hundreds of balloons that you just could never describe the color or the shapes of these things. It is amazing. I experienced it probably 30 years ago, and I've never forgotten it.
Yeah. I just have a short little story to tell you. About 2 days ago, I sent out to a friend, or to a bunch of friends, just kind of a family Christmas greeting. And it had a picture of my son sitting on Santa's knee, but it was taken at a friend's house, and on her wall was all covered with crosses, which is a very kind of a New Mexico kind of decor thing that they
use.
And so I sent this picture off, and this one friend that I sent it to, I used to know from my legalistic days from Bible college. And I sent it off to her, and we have since talked, and she, you know, she knows what I thought she knew what I believe, but her comment back to me was, "Oh, your son's really cute. I see that you have crosses on the wall. I'm guessing that's not your home." and it actually opened up the door for me to be able to talk to her and say, why would you think that I wouldn't put a cross on a wall on my wall or have that symbol or be against that symbol? And it opened up a whole door of me to explain how my belief system has completely opened up what I believe the cross is. It's taken it out of a box. What it was
Rhonda.
In when it was in Christianity. So just kind of what you were speaking about, how the gospel revolution has completely opened up what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah.
Whereas within Christianity, it completely shuts it down. And I thought that was pretty interesting, and just how how her response was, "Oh, I'm guessing that's not your house." Just because in the past I don't believe what she believes any longer.
Right.
But I never, ever told her that I no longer believed in Christ and in the cross.
Yeah.
It was, it threw me for a loop, but it really opened my eyes. And actually, it really opened a really good channel of talking to her, communicating to her, and explaining to her that I truly believe that my belief system has magnified the cross. And I would be honored to have a cross on my wall, because to me it is the symbol of the gospel of grace.
Absolutely. And Rhonda, hon, I have to tell you that your testimony, which I knew you for quite some time before you sat down with me and shared your testimony with me. In fact, you had not shared it with anyone.
I had not.
And this was Rhonda's testimony, and I'm going to ask you for permission to share that on the webcast. And if you'd rather not, then that's fine.
Of course, absolutely. I have no problem with it.
I will try to get it all correct, but you've got to know,
no
sweetheart,
problem. No problem.
Your testimony, your testimony at that time is the thing that spurred me on to continue with the gospel. It just came at a time where the walls were collapsing around me. And they were literally collapsing. Everything was collapsing around me. And you know that. And you asked that we could sit down and have some time. And when you shared your testimony with me, I knew that I could not quit.
Oh, my God.
I knew I couldn't. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. Okay. You have a wonderful Christmas, and Glenn.
Whoa! Wait, hold on, Rhonda. Sorry.
Okay.
First, wait a second, you guys. Michael, you need
We're
to share
a, moment,
a
okay.
little bit what Rhonda did, and then Rhonda, you can share a little bit what Michael did, and then we can say goodnight.
Well, Rhonda would. When Rhonda sat down to share with me, let me kind of introduce the story to you. Rhonda was just one of the young girls that came to the meetings in Edmonton, always gracious, always with a smile, a wonderful masseuse, I can say for sure, and just amazing. I mean, she just led a very quiet life and was worked for the ministry there in Edmonton tirelessly, was working with the Raphaels and to do mailings, anything that she could to help, she did. And then after a few years, actually, she asked to sit down and talk with me. And that's when I found out that she had been a missionary. And that during the process of being a missionary, and I'm going to let her tell the details, but Rhonda was the victim of a very brutal rape. And out of which Rhonda became pregnant and gave birth to I believe it's twins, is that right? And I believe that's correct. And but Rhonda was... after Rhonda became pregnant as a result of this rape, the Christian community there, they kicked her out of the ministry. They kicked her out because she had gotten pregnant.
Hello?
So, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So that's my part. So you can do your interview thing now and follow up with Rhonda. And
all right, so
she can correct.
Rhonda,
Yes.
She can correct the parts I got wrong.
Was that a fairly accurate rendition of your that aspect of your life?
A big part of it was. I think there's a few stories he's gotten a little mixed up in there.
I would not understand
all the people he speaks to and talks to through the
yeah,
years.
That would not be unusual, Rhonda. Why don't you correct the
it
record?
Wouldn't? Oh, okay.
No. Why don't you correct the record, though?
Okay. Well, I was at a Bible school studying to go into the mission field at the time, which is, I understand where you would think I was already in the mission field, but that's what was happening when it happened. And
what country were you in, hon? Were you in another country?
Yes, it was Australia. I lived in Australia at the time. And when it happened, as I, became more and more pregnant with and bigger, the people started to, throw their questioning eyes my way and things like that. And finally, one evening, there was a visiting minister to the church that I was assigned to through the Bible school that I was at. And he had taken me, he had come to me. I didn't know who he was from, anybody. And he had just taken me aside and asked if he could have lunch with me. And afterwards, I thought, okay. And he the next day picked me up for lunch, and we went for lunch. And before the waitress even brought back our drinks that we had ordered, he said to me, I talked to the pastor, and he told me your story and what's happened. And he said, this happened to you, and you are pregnant because God is angry with you, and this is a punishment on you. That's when I was shocked, because I had been brought up in a fairly fundamental Christian home, but I think in many churches they would never come outright and say something like that, even though their belief system has to lead them to that conclusion. That
right. That's a great point, Rhonda.
And so it shocked me in a way, but then I thought, after a couple days of just crying over it, and feeling such horrible hurt, because of course when something like that happens to you, you're dealing with all kinds of emotions, guilt, guilty feelings, like what did I do, what was wrong, what did I do wrong, what could I have done differently, etc. And then when somebody comes out right and says, this is God who did this to you, and as I sat and thought about it,
Rhonda, it wasn't just anybody saying that God did this to you. It was a minister.
It was a traveling evangelist. It was, yes, it was a minister. And I had been raised to believe, been raised to just pretty much not question what came from the pulpit. And I just, I was so flabbergasted by what this guy said. But as I thought about it, I thought, this is what, even though my parents wouldn't say this to me, even though my church or my minister back home would not say these words to me, this is what I have been brought up to believe. I have been brought up to believe that when you do good, God blesses. When you do bad, God curses.
Right.
That was essentially my entire Christian upbringing in a nutshell.
Well, that's everybody's Christian upbringing in a nutshell.
Right, Right. To hear that this come from this guy, I had to come to the conclusion that he was the only guy who was being truly honest to his belief system.
That's powerful.
And it became, at that moment, it became a turning point for me. I said, at that moment, I felt so horribly condemned when I kept thinking under my old belief system. But almost at that very moment, I felt a still small voice say to me, just a second, I'm on the phone, hon. Sorry. I heard a still small voice say, Rhonda, if this is what you believe, that your God can do to you or would do to you, why would you choose to believe in a God like that? And he says, you know, you. And then it was like, it just, for the next few days, I kept getting these thoughts that in the past, I would have thought, I would have looked out for being struck by lightning, because they would have been thoughts that I would have thought were sacrilegious or completely
blasphemous.
Blasphemous, exactly. But they were thoughts that just kept coming to me. If this is what you believe, if this is the God that you believe in, or if this is what your God is capable of, if what this guy says is true, is this a God that you want to believe in and serve? And that he would use this as a punishment against one of his children who he's supposed to love? And just, you know, I just, it just slowly little thoughts came to me that made me realize, and it was like God said, who you've been taught I am is not who I am.
All right, we got to fast forward this a little bit. We're going to pick up. Hopefully, you will participate on many future webcasts. But now, Michael, you're in a deep pile of hurt, if you will, and you're in Edmonton. Rhonda comes to you, and what does she say to you that was so uplifting and important at that moment?
Well, number one, this was all a complete secret. Rhonda left this entire story in Australia, and I was the first person that she sat down and told the story to, and took me through the entire story, and that the gospel had, what the gospel had done, and set her heart free from all of this horrible abuse, religious abuse. And what has been coined in the past, toxic faith, and but just religious abuse to the max. And like I said, it was during this time that so much was just crashing around me as far as the ministry was concerned, and just everything was just, it was just amazing what was happening. But Rhonda's testimony, obviously, I think anyone could see why. This was what kept me from quitting at the time, because it was like, I'm not able to communicate what I'm trying to say. My doubt was in myself that I was able to communicate, clearly what I was even trying to say. But, when Rhonda sat down with me that day and shared with me what had happened, and, that this was the first time she had told the story, it was amazing what it did in my heart. Rhonda's family didn't know anything about this, and it was sometime after that, before Rhonda's mother passed away, that she had the opportunity to sit down and tell her own mother what had happened to her, and in a whole different light now, of having a whole different life. So that's what encouraged me. I knew that the type of abuse that Rhonda went through, while extreme, was not out of the scope of the ordinary.
within these religious circles, and it's happening to people every day. And
it's happening right now. It's happening to people right now. And this is why the Gospel Revolution, as an effort, as an organized effort, however organized it is, this is why it exists. And there are there are historic moments of this effort. Michael was retelling to me when somebody came up with the concept of going online with the Gospel Revolution about 13, 14 years ago. Rhonda, your moment with Michael in Edmonton, that was a historical turning point as well. And do not be bashful, okay? And call every week if you want. We'd love to hear from you all the time. All right, go to those Albuquerque guys.
This is my first time on the webcast, so.
All right.
It is your first time. I love you dearly.
My first time listening. My aunt Connie sent me the link to this, just this evening. I checked my email and saw it and thought, oh, I'm going to try and get to listen to that. So.
All right.
Oh, awesome. Tell Connie I said hi.
I will.
Love you.
All right, Rhonda, stay in touch.
Love you guys. Okay. Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Rhonda sounded like she had a couple guys that were wanting your attention. But didn't they know
absolutely.
She was speaking to the world?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, have a phenomenal weekend. A great Christmas, or however you celebrate it or don't celebrate it. It's all good. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn. It's
welcome.
Is always a great joy to be on here. We never know what's going to happen, but it is historically always wonderful.
Yeah, and thanks to Jeff Robertson for doing everything that he has done and is doing, to Sean O'Halloran for producing, engineering, and call screening this extravaganza. This was the webcast for Christmas. And all through the earth, not a human was sinning. None had a curse. Christ hung on the cross with such perfect love, for the joy set before him from the Father above. All God's children redeemed, saved to the max. Even Bill Clinton, while playing the sax. The Pope, too, in his lovely outfit and cap, though many were lulled into a bad religious nap. When out in the world arose such a solution, the gospel for all, what a revolution. Away on the internet and via the stream, week after week, God's ultimate dream. He delivered his promise to the world as a whole. May Jesus the Lord, he paid all our toll. And I heard him exclaim, as he rose out of sight, you're all holy and righteous. I saved you just right. This is Glenn Klein Online. Merry Christmas and Shalom, everybody.